I'm Addie called Kenny.
Amen.
I'd like to thank God for this gift of life. I feel cluttered. It's like the first time in a long time that I've been boxed in like I'm still in the penitentiary. You know, we used to go in the catwalk in a little space, and you had to fight your way out. And I came to Narcotics Anonymous. They say that I'm free. And right now, I don't feel. I had to let the air out. If you are new here, if you're new here and confused why you're here, don't worry about it. If you've been here a while and from some inappropriate behavior you displayed before you got here that got you in a state of confusion, don't you worry about it either. Don't let nothing you see here, nothing you hear here, don't let nothing nobody tell you, because they'll tell you some stuff to stop you from keep coming back here. You're here, and that's all that matters. Listen, I don't have much time. It's been a long road. It's been a long road, and I'm going to try to cover it. But what I want to say this, because what happens, and when I was given this topic, it took me all the way back to when, like, when I was using. I don't know if you forgot your last days of using. My last days of using is probably the reason why I'm here. And because I never fully, have you ever done something that you couldn't believe you'd done and really haven't accepted yet? In my last days of using, I was tired. I don't know if you ever been tired when you just want to lay down. I'm a victim of hitting the pipe, not crack. Crack wasn't out then. I was hitting the pipe. Baking soda was the famous thing at the drugstore. We used to cook it up. So I was tired. I wanted to really lay down. I had a long run. I had got to the point where I burnt my mother and my sisters. My mother gave me that look as if I shouldn't have never been born. And I'm her favorite out of nine. But I was wandering. You ever wandering? I had a few dollars, and I was trying to create an idea on how I was going to lay down. And then I burnt all the bridges. I robbed my aunt. She said if I come in the neighborhood, she would call the police. And I was contemplating of sleeping with a prostitute. I mean, you hit the pipe. I don't know how you ever get a sexual desire to even have sex, but you can tell in desperation I was so desperate because I was even contemplating on sleeping with a prostitute. I even said I was going to knock her down and be able to get some sleep. I mean, that don't even make sense. You knocking a prostitute down. But anyway, I conjure up this thought that you know, I wasn't too keen on the idea, but I was just so tired. I was just confident in what I thought up was going to work. And I said, you know, I said I'm going. It didn't dawn on me as I began to walk across the street that first the prostitute was too tall. So I said okay. So I said she ain't gonna go with me. I'm a pipehead. You know, you start lowering yourself or something. I said, I'm going to try it anyway. And I went on across the street. And as I began to go across the street, it began to unfold. When I got across the street, when I got across the street, he said, He said, you trying to go? And I mean, every fiber in my body wanted to say no. But because of obsession and compulsion, I couldn't. And I only want to stay there one night. I don't know how I wind up 5 days there. I mean, they said it get good, get... That was the most humiliating thing in my life. Every day I used to cry when he leave. I used to say, I'm getting out of here. Something would say, where you going at? You ain't got nowhere to go. It's a nice place. When they come back, they always have cane. You can get high off them. Give it one more day. I ain't never heard one more day, but in here, you know, back there I was saying, I'm going to give it one more day, and he came back, and it, I had to perform the same act. You know, the most humiliating thing is that I had to hold him at night. I had to hold him because I had just come from prison, and I know in prison they do this flip thing. I didn't want to be a victim of the other end. Listen to this. Somehow I got enough courage, I left. I wound up in treatment. And every time I wanted to use, I thought about the guy. And they said, it gets worse when you use. I couldn't figure out nothing to get that bad. So I said, I'll give it one more day in here. And because of that guy, of not wanting to run into him again, I gave it one more day for almost 22 years. Now, listen. Because I shared that, it doesn't mean that I really accept what happened. You know, there's this thing, and you know, we do literature, and Four Steps says that you become aware of who and what you are. But there's a deeper level of self-acceptance. When you talk about self-acceptance, there's insecurities, low self-esteem, inadequacy. Feeling bad about yourself. All those things is deep-rooted that really don't come up when you really write about the wrong and the right in your inventory. When you planning on looking at self, I still have those insecurities. Like, you ever had your spouse leave you and then years later wind up with somebody else that you might know in the fellowship? Now you angry at both of them. Now, y'all ain't sleep together for years. Ben broke it off. Those are the things that you have to accept. Can you accept it when it's over with? You know, I hate that. I can't stand that. I think that everybody that I'm involved with shouldn't mess with nobody that I ever know. And I know a lot of people. How you can... And I get angry. I'm telling you, I'll get to the point where I want to act out as if we just broke up yesterday. I didn't know that I had that insecure inside. You know, you can work steps and still be insecure and jealous. You still have inadequacy about people, man. You know, and those type of things. My life haven't made the adjustment that I really want my life to make. Ever since I used to have a fruit hours. If they have a fruit hours. I had a few cars and a couple of houses, and it was all through the wrong way. Clean. It was clean. But no spirit. No spirit. And I wind up going back to prison. And going back to prison, I try to develop a spirit, and I came out. You ever develop the inside and can't connect fully on the outside? I don't know if you can feel what I'm saying. Most of the things I haven't been able to put together. It's been years. I think me and somebody else was talking about. It's been years trying to. It's been one episode of trying to put my life back the way I want it. Matter of fact, I haven't had an anniversary because I don't think my life is fully connected the way I want it to be. I don't want to just at an anniversary share just share. You know, I think my life should be, I think I want the house and the car and things like that. I want to live better, to be more successful out there in society. And when I'm not, it makes me angry. I get angry in the inside, and I'll start or either create situations that have put me in a dilemma where I was when I was using, or I ignore it and then think that it's supposed to go away by itself. I don't know if you just let things, because we say we serve a God, we think because we have a God in our life that automatically he's going to make our life better. Automatically he's going to erase the things that we need to erase. Automatically he's going, you know, one thing I do know, that when you consistent with God, that he's going to remove the people out of your life that don't supposed to be in your life. Listen, I'm sharing with you now, and you'll probably be a test to it later on, that even the people that I'm close with right now is being moved, and they don't even know it. Because when you have authentic and real friends, you don't have to question. You don't have to question. Your real friend's going to always check and see how you're doing. You know. Listen, you don't ever have to tell a lie about me. The truth about me is bad enough. Never had to lie about me. Matter of fact, 90% of the things you say about me is true. Huh? I already accept that. Listen, when I lost my mother, in 2004. In 2005, I lost my last brother. In 2006, the last three deaths resurfaced. I never accept near death. Never accept my mother leaving me. I'm spoiled out of nine. So when my mother left, everybody that comes in contact with me have to treat me like my mother did. And if you don't treat me like my mother did, I either push you away or create some kind of argumentation where we ain't talking no more. Because I can hold a resentment. You know, I build resentments because you won't treat me like my mother. Even the women that I accept in my life have to be like my mother. If they not, you know, the first 30 days you involved with somebody is probably the best days you're going to get. After that, I start taking evaluation. They snore too loud. They don't cook. They, you know, all those things that, you know, I'm just looking for a way out. In the last 5 months, what happened in my life, and I'm not going to hold you up. The last 5 months of my life, I was staying with my father. I found out a year ago my father had cancer. And after numerous going to the hospital with him and getting him diagnosed and him moving in his own, he called about 3 or 4 months ago and asked if I could come living with him. And it was hard because he had cancer and he stayed cold a lot. And he kept the heat up like 90, 100. And every day I come in there, I have to deal with the heat. So I wind up actually start living with him. And 3 weeks ago, he died. And, you know, one of the things when we put him in hospice, I was angry. I asked him, was he all right? He said, I don't have no choice to be all right. Because I ain't going to be here long. And you ever had somebody that's leaving you and there's nothing you can do? Nothing you can do. So I watched my father deteriorate. I watched him. So after he died, I was staying in his place, and they were saying they gave you a time period to leave. So Monday, your brother stayed with me till 1:30 in the morning. And he said, I'm not leaving until you have a place to go in. So I wound up going in because I knew the person was there. And he kept calling and checking on me, says, you all right? And I said, yeah, I'm all right. You ever prayed? I got on my knees. And I prayed so hard that I fell asleep. So when I actually moved, where I moved at, I haven't seen a bathroom in 2 days. My cousin came to me and he said, I want you to stay in this house. And I don't like the house, but I have to accept this house where I'm at. There's a vision in this house because whenever you've been reduced to the lowest part, there's no way but up. And I wasn't going to come here, but a friend of mine inspired me, Rick, said you have to come. And what I'm saying that I've been connected. God had prepared me in the last 3 months, some real friends that he put in my life that I've been hanging with that really, really touched my spirit, that motivate me. Because there's an out there. I mean, that I was sharing with Rick that there's an out. I already see the way out. I already see where I'm going. I already see things that's transpired, that's happened in my life. But I have to accept the condition that I am in right now. So, listen, thank you, because I had a nice time riding down with you and Tony. Because if it wasn't for you, I don't know what I would have did. You know, so me and your brother been talking, and he's been really just like inspiring. You have to get away from the people who, see, it's the people who you think going to help you, it's really not going to help you. It's the ones you least expected. The ones you can never put on your list that's going to be there for you is the ones that's actually going to be there for you. So you, what I'm saying, you have to be vigilant of where God is taking you and who he's putting in your life. Because what I haven't accepted yet, that the new people he's coming in my life, I still want to hold on to the old. And the old ones ain't giving me nothing. I mean, they my friends, but they're just my friends. They still gonna be my friends. But it wasn't until I start letting them go. I have to let them go to branch on to the new ones, because the new ones take me to the next level where I really have to go. But it's hard, because it's the ones that you've been with since I've been here. It's the ones that you've been doing all this with. It's the ones you actually have to let go. You got to let them go, because they're not going the same way you're going. And it don't make it bad on them. It's just God have a purpose and meaning in your life that had nothing to do with them. And then until you accept it and fully believe in where he's trying to take you, you ain't going no way. You're going to always be stuck. So I don't want to be stuck. I love my friends. I am a friend. I'm closing. I am. If they can say what they want about me, but ask them, am I your friend? If I say I'm your friend, I'm your friend. I would die for you as a friend, because that's what kind of friend I am. I don't betray my friends. You know, I try to stay with my friends, support my friends, because that's all I have. I owe my entire life. I owe my entire life to the fellowship of Nakai Synonymous, God, and you people. I'm only extending my hope to you. If you two are suffering, as I once was, you will practice the principles of Nakai Synonymous, find freedom from pain and misery, and a new prosperous life. Thanks for allowing me to share.
I'd like to introduce our second speaker. This is Thaddeus from West Virginia.
My name is Thaddeus, and I'm an addict. As always, before I speak, I'd like to give credit to the God of my understanding for guiding me here to the program of Narcotics Anonymous and putting you people in my life, because this program and you people have saved my life. I am truly in touch with that, and I'm appreciative of that. And my gratitude for that is staying here in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Real briefly, it would be remiss if I didn't mention my area, my home group, Almost Heaven area. My home group is not high at noon. We meet every day except Tuesdays and Sundays at Martinsburg, West Virginia, at a 75-minute meeting from 12 to 1:15. If you're out there, please come in and check us out. You did a beautiful job, Kenny. Beautiful job. Thanks for setting the tone of recovery. Real briefly, I just want to identify myself, and it's real not difficult. I used for over 30 years, and I've either done most of the things that you've done, or if I haven't. Then I know if I make that decision, I will. I've been out there a very long time, and there's very little, with the exception of the things that weren't out there, that I didn't experience. And that's the gist of my story. You know, I try to stay in touch with, especially when I'm given a topic, and how it affects me today. Because I got a lot of friends out here that is here supporting me, and one of the things about standing up here and you having friends out there is that you got to be honest. At least the crew that I hang out with, because if I leave this podium dishonest, they will rip me apart, and I'm okay with that. So it allows me to have some self acceptance about being honest on a deep level. This topic, first of all, if you're new in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, the first introduction to self-acceptance is me admitting that I'm an addict. That's my very first introduction, and that's on a surface level. I don't really understand the deep level of self-acceptance as of yet. But y'all helped me understand that first all I need to do is have some acceptance that I'm an addict. That I use, and I use unsuccessfully, that any time that I pick up any mood or mind-altering chemical, that I can't put it down. Y'all taught me that, and I have some acceptance with that. And if I ever think anything other than that, then I may make the decision to pick up again. My disease will make me think that maybe I got one more time. But principally, I know that I don't. My second level of self-acceptance is that drugs was just a symptom. After doing some work, you know, I have to understand that I have some serious defects that caused my life to self-destruct. Even after not using drugs. See, before, like, I thought those defects were only connected with me using drugs. So if you're anything like me, I thought that when I put the drugs down, that those defects wasn't so prevalent anymore. That I necessarily didn't have to address them, and that they would not show up anymore. So I had to get a level of acceptance that drugs is only a problem if I pick it up. That I need to get to another level, which is called recovery, of beginning to become better with what I was suffering with. And that's the disease. the disease, the addiction part I could easily identify with, you know, and it manifested in a lot of areas once I put the drugs down. But it's just the character defects of the addiction aspect is obsession, compulsion, and total self-centeredness. That's the characteristics of the addiction part. I could never recognize and understand the disease aspect. And I could only share my experience. As I understand, reading the literature and the help of my sponsor, what I get out of, what I need to do in order to become a better person, and what I understand through the literature and through the help of sponsorship is that my disease is the part where I allow my character defects to take control. That allows my life to be unmanageable. And if I don't address them, and I can't even name all of them, that's why it takes so long for this addict to get to where I'm trying to get to. Because there's so many of them. Just to run off a couple of them so you can identify control issues, lust, you know, unmanageability, ego. Just to, you know, that's what ran my life for so long. And the literature states that if my addiction consists of more than using drugs, then my addiction consists of more than using drugs, then my recovery must consist of more than just stop using. So that lets me know that I gotta have some acceptance that I got a serious problem, and drugs, you know, it's long past the drug issue. And when I got some acceptance with that, I was able. The way that I got some success with that is through the step work. And when I started doing the step work, I began to start seeing those defects that I was talking about and seeing how they were so destructive in my life for a very long time. Listen, not even when I was using drugs, but even before then. Because I was saying to myself, I'm reading, I'm doing the step work, and I'm asking the question, I'm saying, I was doing this crap before I started using. And I said, you know what? I'm not using no more, and I'm still doing it. I said, that's what's wrong. The step work helped me see that's what's wrong. So I begin to start identifying with self-acceptance on a deep level, and it talks about that in the pamphlet, that it's very difficult for me to self-diagnose my problem. It's very difficult for me to identify because I don't want to accept that all the defects that I have. I don't want to accept how deteriorating I am. I don't want to accept how ugly I am. I don't want to accept the monster that lives inside of me that was created as a result of the decisions that I made. I don't want to accept that because it doesn't look good. It's not what I want to be, but it's who I am. And until I accept that, and listen, somebody in recovery taught me this a long time. If I don't accept that I have a problem, I can't fix it. I will not do nothing about it. Listen, I don't know about y'all, but I got to seek outside help. It took me a long time to have some acceptance with that. You tell me I got a mental problem, I'm saying ain't nothing wrong with me. So I wouldn't go seek outside help. And as a result of not seeking outside help, recovery was not enough. It wasn't enough. Because I still allowed those issues to affect my decisions, the mental issues to affect my decision. Now, once I coupled them both together and I had finally got some acceptance that I need to seek some outside help, my recovery began to start taking off. There's something about the principles that are involved in the step work that when I connect them with seeking outside help or whatever religion that I choose, that all of those things seem to take off. It's the recovery process and the spiritual principles that are involved that allows me to grow in the area in which I'm trying to go. Listen, I struggle with ego. Because of the environment that I grew up in, I always wanted to be something that I never was, that I never really was. Listen, I'm a straight-out coward. But I grew up in an area that you could not exist if that's what you demonstrated. So in order to not behave in that manner, I hung out with some people that did some things that I was too cowardly to do. And I became some of those people. I became one of them. Because I did what they did. I didn't want to. Listen, I had to, like, before, and when I was, and this is long before the drugs. Before I used to go out the house and go to school, I used to have to pump myself up because I was too scared. Where I grew up at, in the urban area that I grew up in, there was always some confrontation going on almost every day. And I didn't really want to face that. I didn't know how to face it. As a matter of fact, I was scared to face it. But I had to go to school. So I would get in the mirror, and I would talk to myself. And I would create this image or this person that didn't really exist. And it allowed me to get up the courage to go to school. That is the only way I can go to school. I began to start creating something inside me that never existed. In order for me to survive in the environment that I grew up in, I had to create a person that allowed me to survive out there in society. And I want to say that I was kind of successful with it, but it really wasn't that. It's just that I survived. And I developed somewhat of a reputation, and I lived off that. Because I'm talking about my ego that began to grow when I began to experience some survival tactics and experience it successfully, quote unquote. So after finally making the decision to use, and for using for so very long, those survival skills somewhat diminished. You got to follow me here now. Those survival skills, after using for 30 years, somewhat diminished. How can I be a stick-up man if I'm going to sell my pistol? I don't have no tools no more. You know what I'm saying? But I still want to be a stick-up man. So after using for so long, those survival skills diminished, and when I finally got to that point that you were talking about, of that was so low that I finally surrendered and came into the program in Narcotics Anonymous because I didn't know what else to do and I didn't have anywhere else to go. And I finally surrendered and I got clean. The first thing to come to the forefront is being able to survive now that I'm not using. I bring my ego right into the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I bring all that insanity that I used to survive out there in the street with into the program of Narcotics Anonymous, and y'all said, keep coming back. Y'all didn't kick me out. You know, y'all said, we ain't scared of you. Just keep coming back. You know, and I did that. And I began to start doing some things, man, and one of the things is I was just following y'all. I saw some people that I was surviving out there in the street with, the people that I tried to emulate. When I came here, they were already here. They were already here. And I saw them living in a different way than the way they were living when they were in the street. They weren't living in that manner in which I wanted to live like anymore. You know, they were living differently, man. They were productive and successful members of society, which is what I didn't have a clue about. I didn't have a clue about that. And when I saw them, it gave me some hope. I said, listen, if they were brave enough to put away the image that they had when they were out there, then maybe this is where I belong. See, because I was too fearful of getting rid of that image out in the street. But the literature told me, and when I read it, it was so prevalent to me. What worked for me out there will not work for me in here. So I needed to change some things. So I had some acceptance that, boy, you got some serious work to do. And this is the hope, y'all. Remember I said that I worked so hard to try to create an image that didn't exist in order for me to go to school? Well, the hope was that I was able to get back to that person that existed before I created to that image. That's who I really wanted to be. That's deep down inside, that's what I really, really wanted, a compassionate, caring, and loving individual. All of that stuff that would not allow me to survive out there in the street. And I saw some hope because the people that were here before me were living that way. And I said, that's what I want to do, and they will no longer take advantage of me if I become that. They will no longer laugh at me or think that I'm a sucker or whatever. They accepted me for just being what I wanted to be. But listen, I'm not saying it was easy, because that even today that listen, today it still shows up. She asked me, when do I want to speak? I said, I want to speak last. You know, ego. And I know that. And I need to sit here and say that. You know, but it lets me know the work that I need to do. Humility is something that I must always. And the only way that I can always, that I can ever continue to live in a humble manner is with the growth of the relationship with the God of my understanding. That's the only way. That's the only way. I have to admit, like I just did, that I got a problem and that I need to take a look at it. And then I need to fix that. I need to work on fixing that. I need to find out what principle and what step, because it talks about in the pamphlet that the steps is the solution. In order for me to no longer behave in that manner, because it's a self-destructive manner. It will cause my life to self-destruct if I don't change. Listen, I live a great life. I struggle with having acceptance with that. I live a great life. I got the house, I got the car, I got the healthy relationship, I got, you know, a decent income. You know, but I want to be more than that. I don't want to accept the fact that the God of my understanding got me right where I belong, which is more than enough. I'm able to meet all my needs without any problem. But I want more. I still want to be something that doesn't exist. And that's my struggle. That's my struggle today. You know, that's my struggle, is getting out of my own way. Thank God for the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God for sponsorship, because one of the things that I do know today is that if I don't have no experience in something, I still need to talk to my sponsor and help, so he can help me make a decision. I still want to go off on my own tantrum about something I ain't never did before, and decide how to do it. Decide how to fix it. The program, what I learned from the program in Narcotics Anonymous is that if I gain some experience successfully in something, then maybe I can do that on my own. But if I don't have no experience in it, then maybe I need some help. You know, maybe I better ask for some help. Ain't no maybe about it. I need to ask for some help just to display some that humility that I was talking about. I need to ask for some help. And as long as I keep that up front, I can continue to strive and become the person that I'm trying to become. I don't know what the God of my understanding has in store for me. I really don't. All I know is that there's a relationship that I need to continue to thrive to develop with him so that I can maybe get a glimpse of an understanding of where he wants me to go and what he wants me to be. I've experienced some things in the program in Narcotics Anonymous that were painful. And I heard you talk about it, and I love hearing experienced members talk because my turn is going to come. And I need to hear how people have gone through some things successfully. I struggle with, I don't know how to put it, I'm not that I'm not that emotional or an affectionate type person. I like to be. I like to skip through the tulips, holding hands, singing, you know, tra-la-la-la-la, but that ain't me. That ain't me. You know, I don't know if I'll ever even get there. It's real uncomfortable for me to even try to get there. You don't have to believe me. Ask my significant other. She'll tell you. But that's a part of an exterior that existed, once again, before I even picked up a drug, that environment that I'm still holding on to, that will not allow me to become that. That's a real deep level of humility to get out of that way, out of the way of that. A real deep level. I don't really know how to explain it, man. It pains me just to hold hands. There's something going on inside of me that needs to be fixed if I want to become that person that is okay with holding hands. You know, and it's going to take me some work to get there. I'm uncomfortable with, my mom is a beautiful person. Anybody that's met my mom know her. I also have a daughter that's a beautiful person. You know, once I stopped using, they accepted me back in their lives gracefully. They are proud of me, the whole nine yards. I'm uncomfortable being around them. I be around them, but I only can be around them for so long. I don't know what, you know, my sponsor needs to help me with that. I'm talking about a level of self-acceptance that I need to accept right now. And if I don't have some acceptance, I will never fix that problem. And I know that if I identify it and through the step process, I'll get through it. It may not even be the first time I go through the steps. The second time, you know, however long it takes. That's why I need to continue this. That's why I need to be here, because that stuff that I practiced for 30 years is so deeply embedded in me. It's so deeply, you know, and it talks about in the pamphlet that it's only through the step process that those things are removed. Remove, let me tell you, I used to think remove meant take away, but that's not what it means. It means just taking this from here and putting it over here. It don't go away. It's still there. I just moved it. So those defects are still there, and they will always be there. And the only way that I can get better with removing them is through the step process, and as long as I practice the principles that are, and that's why I led a program in Narcotics Anonymous, because that's what's helping me get better. When I practice the principles that are involved in the program, it not only is removed, it gets removed further and further, so they won't show up as quickly. Let me give you an analogy. I used to be obsessed with drugs, one that you can identify with. This is an analogy you can identify with. I used to be obsessed with drugs, right? I couldn't stop. I couldn't listen, even when I know it was destroying my life. But when I finally surrendered to this process and I stopped using drugs and I did the things that y'all suggested, practice some principles, do some step work, the whole nine yards, drugs, the obsession to use drugs has been removed. It hasn't gone anywhere. It just isn't as powerful as it used to be. And I need to do the same thing with these defects that I struggle with. I need to practice, and I really don't know how. That's why I need your help. That's why I come to meetings. That's why I listen to y'all share. Because I want to get better. I don't want to, you know, cringe every time my old lady grabbed my hand. I don't want to do that because I love her. She's a beautiful person. That's offensive to her. I know that. But my disease is just so powerful in that area that it just makes me want... Listen, it's ugly. I don't like it. I don't want to not be comfortable around my mom. I don't want to not be comfortable around my daughter. I want to get better with that. They're proud of me. You know, they want to... And this is my son, and, you know, and I want to go hide and cower in the corner. You know, I want to be able to stand there proud, you know, and let them stroke. You know, it's with all the damage that I've done to them, then I should at least be able to allow them their time. So I'm saying... what I struggle with today and my level of self-acceptance, because it talks about in the literature that when we, just because I got some acceptance that I'm an addict, and just because I got some acceptance that I got some character defects, and I may have dressed some of them, as long as I stay here, I have to have a deeper level of self-acceptance. I must always maintain a deeper level and be able to identify, because I always still will show up at any given time. At any given time. That will allow my, and if I continue to allow certain defects to show up in my life, it will allow my life to be unmanageable. I'm not talking about the outward visible unmanageability. I'm talking about how uncomfortable my life and my spirit can be when I do some things that I know is uncomfortable or that I know is wrong. And I know it is, and I do it anyway. I do it anyway. And it just does something to my spirit. And when my spirit is, I don't know about y'all, but when my spirit is interrupted, my life is unmanageable. It's hard to get it back on point. It takes a lot of energy. Now, I don't allow my spirit, and Kenny was talking about, you know, I don't be around a lot of people that got a drama and, you know, the chaos. I don't care what you feel about me. I know what being around that kind of atmosphere can make me feel like. So I make a conscious decision to not do it. It don't mean I dislike you. It don't mean I'm judgmental of you. It's just that I'm uncomfortable around the behavior, and now you may be uncomfortable around the behavior that I bring. I understand that. You know, because we addicts. It is no cliques involved in this camp. It ain't. You know, I just tend to gravitate towards people that going in the spiritual direction that I'm going. That don't mean I'm in a clique. That means that I'm trying to maintain a certain spiritual level that it took me so hard to get. Listen, it took me a lot of work to get to where I'm at. And I am so far from being where I want to be. So I got a lot more work to do. So with the work that I've done and the level in which my spirit is at right now, I'm not going to allow myself to be in an atmosphere that's going to rob me of that. Because I still got the ability to get mad at you. I still got the ability to call you out your name. I still got that survival skills from the street. Remember, I said it's just been removed. You know, I don't care. I can move it all the way to the back of that chair back there in the last row, but it's still there. It's just been removed a little further. You know? And that's what the step work has helped me understand. So for me to get to where I'm trying to get to, for me to get to where the God of my understanding wants me to get to, that person that's a representative of him, then there's a level of humility that I must always maintain. I'm not perfect. I will never be perfect in doing that. But I strive. I strive to do the best I can. I will not always succeed. I understand that. I got some acceptance with that. Because this, remember, I understand what the disease is. Drugs are, you know, another manifestation. So I understand how powerful this disease is. That how it can manifest in an area in which I can't control. And a lot of times it can be my feelings. It can manifest in an area of, you know, my feelings. I must be able to identify that feeling. You know, anger. You know, so there's some work, man, that I have to attempt for a very long time to try to achieve in order to become the person that I gave up a long, long time ago. A long, long time ago. See, it wasn't never that I didn't understand, I didn't have any spiritual principles. I just compromised them a long time ago. And I compromised them for so long that I still have the ability to make that decision to not do the right thing. And I'm not proud of that. I'm proud to be a recovering addict. I'm proud that I haven't used anymore. And I'm thankful to the program in Narcotics Anonymous for what it's done for me in my life. I cannot say enough about it. But today I have to have some self-acceptance at where I'm at in the level of my recovery today. And I'm a long way from where I'm trying to get to. Right? Yeah, I know my time ain't up, but anything else that I try to share is just I'm making up. So thanks for letting me share.